Hey guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't talk about leadership like it's pretty. We talk about what it actually costs. Because the truth is, a lot of people step into leadership thinking it's about vision or inspiration, being the one in charge. And then reality hits, the pressure, the politics, the confusion, expectations that didn't even make sense. And suddenly you're responsible for everything, but in control of almost nothing. And that's where people break. But God doesn't call you into leadership to perform. He calls you to stand, to think clearly, to act with integrity, to lead even when it's messy. So if you've ever been in a role where you have felt the pressure, this conversation is going to speak to you. Today's guest is Marta Semyonova, a leadership coach who doesn't teach theory. Okay, she teaches people how to survive and lead inside of the system. Martha, I'm so happy and excited that you're here today. Thank you for taking the time to get into the hot seat. I have two questions for you for us to get started today. And the first one is, if you have this amazing year this year, what is the message that you want to be known for?
That's a great question. Well, the message I want to be known for is that when you are a leader and you're putting in all this effort and you're doing the best you can, but the results are not coming or not coming in the sense that you expect them to, it's not your fault. There are probably things that you need and can change, but a lot of the time it's about the systems and the expectations that have been created for you.
I love that. What do you want my listeners today to do with the message that you're bringing? What is your outcome for them?
I think that I want them to be a bit kinder to themselves and to give themselves a bit of grace.
I love that. It's funny because those are questions I usually ask offline before we get started. But then I'm like, why am I keeping this from the audience? Because like that's what we want to capture, right? For people to understand, not just what you're here for, but what they can expect out of the show. So my next question really is my basic hot seat question. Who are you, Martha? Where did you come from? Why do you do what you do? And what makes you special?
What makes you special is a super intimidating question, to be
Isn't it?
honest. When
I love it.
yeah.
I love it. That's the hot seat. Your butt's on fire right now.
Absolutely. When you first reached out to me on Podmatch and I saw the name of the show, it was like all my insecurities came out of the woodwork, and I'm not special. What am I special for? But this is who I am. I'm Marta. I live in Bulgaria, born and raised here. For those in the audience that need to brush up on their geography, Bulgaria is a small country in Eastern Europe, a former communist country. As you said in your introduction, I'm a leadership coach. My goal when working with leaders is, once again, to help them be a bit kinder to themselves, but also to define what is the true impact they're able and willing to achieve, and afterwards remove the internal and external blockers that prevent them from doing that. The path that led me to coaching is a bit winding. When I was young, I wanted to be a therapist. So I did a BA in psychology. I did a master's in clinical psychology. I did all sorts of trainings to be a therapist. And then my first job was working with autistic children, and it broke me. I have an anxiety disorder, and it flared up so badly that I was completely unable to function. So I decided to take a small detour, or what I thought was a small detour into HR, get myself together, and dive back into psychology. But HR actually was a good fit for me. It was interesting. I was doing well. I was given an opportunity to become a global leader in shared services in several companies. I built global teams. I led global teams. I did those super exciting things, but it was very exhausting. And also, at some point, I realized that What gives me the greatest joy is not the processes, the functions, the technology I build, but the opportunities to mentor my team members, to see them grow, to give them opportunities. And then a friend mentioned a couple of years ago, why don't you become a coach? And it kind of clicked. So it combines my need and desire to help people with my leadership experience and with also my interest in process, because I help managers build systems and rituals and processes for themselves. So yeah, I love it.
What is something that no one really tells you before you step into leadership?
That you feel guilty all the time. It's similar to what nobody tells you when you become a parent. But there's always guilt. You are either not spending enough time with your team, or you're not being strategic enough, or you're not bringing the results you need to be bringing, or you're working so much that you have time for nothing else and your family is suffering. So there is a lot of guilt in leadership. I think that's one of the things that people don't tell us.
No, I can see that. I definitely can see that. Let's talk a little bit about the work politics. How much of leadership is actually navigating that?
A lot, and it becomes a bigger and bigger percentage of your work the higher you go up in the hierarchy. But actually, politics is not just for leaders. Everybody in the workplace, in the corporate environment, if you want to be successful, you have to acknowledge the fact that the politics is there, even if you don't like it, that there are certain people who hold more influence than others, and whose opinion and voice matters more, and that those alliances and relationships that you build with those people that have influence actually can make or break your career, and that doing good work is often not enough. You have to be visible to the right people and have relationships with the right people.
I mean that the relationship part, I think a lot of people kind of misunderstand that too. But like that's the core of our human experience in the first place, and that kind of applies to everything. What does it feel like to be to be responsible but not fully in control?
Awful. It's absolutely awful, and it is it has different aspects, I would say. So for new managers, for people who have just started as a manager, there is a need to let go a bit, to not be in control of everything, because what I often see in new managers is that they want to be in there, in the operational. They want to touch everything, but that prevents them from doing their jobs as managers, which is to help their teams grow, give them autonomy, etc. So that's one aspect of it. But then there is the other aspect that you are held accountable for results, but you actually don't have the decision-making power to make those results happen. And this is where the politics and the relationships, and I'll call them relationships from now on because politics has a very bad connotation, the relationships matter. When you don't have the authority and the power yourself, you have to be able to influence the people who do, so that they can support you to do your job.
What's the pattern you're seeing when it comes to good leaders that are just burnt out?
I think it's because they're trying to meet conflicting expectations. So I often see leaders who are expected both to be those strategic people who bring innovation, who drive new projects, who make big ticket projects, but at the same time, they're constantly being asked about every single task that their team does. And they're expected to know every little thing that happens in their team. And it's very difficult to manage both of those at the same time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's again about letting go and about setting some boundaries and showing some trade-offs. Yes, I can be involved in every single thing that my team does, but then you will not get that strategic output that you want from me,
Right, that
and
makes a
have
lot.
their leaders make
Yeah.
this trade-off, which is more important to
That
them.
makes sense. What are, tell me about the invisible rules that people need to understand to survive.
Well, one of them we already talked about, it's politics. Politics is not a bad thing. Politics is important for you. Relationships are important for you, both from a emotional support way. So having those friends at work is proven to be very important for engagement, satisfaction, happiness at work, but also relationships with those people who can help you. The other thing that I think not many people realize is that you have to take care of your manager as much as you take care of your team. We are under the impression that our manager is supposed to be the one who does things for us and who takes care of us. But actually, if we want to be successful, if we want to have a good relationship with our managers, we have to understand what drives them, what's important for them, and make their lives easier. So put as much tension there as you're putting in your team.
Yeah. How does, what is your trick, okay, to staying clear-headed under that constant pressure? And how did you learn that, learn how to do that?
I learned it through pain, exhaustion,
Yeah.
and burnout. But my trick is to find that intersection between what the company wants from me and what they expect of me and what I want for myself. So what the company wants from me will inform the things I do. What I want for myself will determine how I do them. There have been periods in my life when my goal was to grow, to get promoted, to be very visible. So I would put extra effort in projects that I know will bring me that visibility. There have been other parts in my life when my focus has been more on work-life balance, on making sure that I have that time for my family, for some other things that I find important. So in those periods, my focus would be that I do what's expected from me very well, but I don't do anything over because
Extra.
I have other priorities.
Yeah. I like that. And that's kind of a hard lesson too, that learning to balance, you know, work life, personal time, business, and it definitely depends on the season. Is that another hard lesson, or did that come easy to you?
Oh, not easy at all. I had to leave a job because it was too much, and I really thought I had failed, that I wasn't efficient enough, that I wasn't doing everything well enough, which probably was true to an extent. But then I learned that when I left, they backfilled me with two full-time roles and two part-time roles. So I was essentially doing the job of several
Four
people.
jobs. Wow.
And I hadn't learned how to set those boundaries and how to say, no, I can take this, but not more than that. So in my next job, I kind of put some firm boundaries.
Yeah.
Back then, we were still working at the office. So my hard boundary was I don't open my computer and I don't look at anything, any notification or emails on my phone when I get home. I may stay in the office 10 hours, 12 hours, but the moment I leave,
You
that's
leave.
it.
Yeah.
So that was a first step for me in kind of building those boundaries.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think even now, right? Like setting those boundaries for me, it's not always easy. And there's times I catch myself like still, Usually the rule is when I leave my office, it's mom mode, but sometimes I'm on the phone and I catch an email and the kids are talking and I'm like, I'm typing. But just that separation is so important and it's not easy. It's like a muscle you have to grow, what role does identity play in how someone leads?
I think it's at the core of how someone leads. And our identity as leaders is not something that we usually think about. I mean, if you ask somebody, I can bet that if they're able to answer you, they have pre been preparing for a job interview recently. Because in other times, we don't really think about that. But the identity is how what shapes us. And what shapes our decisions and the way we act, because our identity is formed by our values and of what gives us purpose and meaning and of what we aspire to be as leaders. And this is not something that is set in stone. It is something that changes over time. And it is also something that we can actively change because sometimes the identity that we have taken as leaders becomes counterproductive because something has changed in our goals and needs, something has changed in our team's goals and needs. And it is something that we can actively change because being a leader is actually a role we play. It's not who we are in our totality. And when you play a role, you can always adjust how you play it,
Right.
so that it's more helpful for you, it's more helpful for your team as well.
How do you teach leaders to build accountability without micromanaging?
There are several aspects of this. The first one is clarity. So, having their teams understand exactly what is expected from them and why it is expected from them. This is super important and it seems very straightforward and easy, but it's not always so easy because what often happens is that the strategic goals of the company has changed. We're working towards something new now. So we start doing all those new things, but we continue doing some of the old things as well because that's just how we have done it.
Right.
And often teams get overwhelmed because they're working on things that are obsolete. So clarity is the first thing. The other thing is to help your team members align their personal goals and their identity with what you're asking them to do. Why is this important for them personally? Not why is it important for the company and the PLL? What will it help them achieve? Then there is this internal drive that we cannot manufacture. It has to come for the people from the people, but we can help them see where this activity, this task, this project is going to help them. And then the other part is process and systems. So build rituals that encourage accountability. Be very clear when they need to report, how they need to update you, what would be the consequences for themselves, for the company, for the team if things are not done. And also be accountable yourself. Show up as somebody who keeps their promises, or if you don't keep your promises, go out in front of the team and say, listen, I messed up. This is how I'm going to correct. That creates a culture of accountability as well.
I love that. And I mean, that's a leader that you can respect. That's a leader you can trust. That's someone worth following. I have a lot of leaders on here. So speak to them. Like, what are they doing right now that's quietly damaging their teams? What's one thing they're probably doing?
One thing that you're probably doing is you think that if you understand something, your team understands it too. We have to be a lot more articulate and repeat a lot more times when we're trying to communicate to our teams what we need from them, what we expect of them, what they can expect from us. There is this saying, I mean, when you get sick of repeating something, that's when people actually start hearing you. So you have to continue a little bit more after that. The other thing is expecting people to be like you, to have the same drive, the same motivation,
Morals, ethics,
which
values.
is,
Yeah, I can see that. I could see a lot of people like it's hard just even in life, in everyday life, to not expect you out of other people. And then you're just always disappointed and you're like, I would never, right? I would never. What is something that you see in corporate culture that everyone pretends is normal, but you think is complete dysfunctional BS?
The whole hustle culture, the fact that you have to work overtime, that you have to overachieve in order to be successful, and in order to be considered a good employee, and in order to be considered as somebody who brings value. If your company needs people to hustle and to work overtime in order to be successful, then you have either not structured your processes right or you don't have enough people.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Hustle culture, I feel like, is dying everywhere except corporate. So I think a lot of people have caught on to the not so secret that hustle culture is not cool. And where can people get resourced with you? Where can they find you? How can they work with you?
LinkedIn is the best place.
Okay.
I'm constantly on there. I post content about leadership and I'm very open to conversations.
Fabulous. Martha, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. You're not the only person that gets uncomfortable answering that. And then the fun part for me is that most of the time people really do miss what makes them special. And it's not just that you, for yourself, it's not just that you understand leadership, it's that you see it clearly. You are not pretending that it's simple, you are not dressing it up, you're calling out what's actually happening. And I think having the opportunity that you've taken to help people to navigate in a way that actually works, to help them bring clarity, to help them set those boundaries, you took all of your hard lessons and you've packaged it up. You bring structure to chaos and clarity to something that most people are just trying to survive. I think that's incredibly powerful. We need more people like you in business, and I think that makes you special. For everyone listening, you guys, leadership isn't easy. It's not clean. It's not even always fair, and it definitely doesn't come with a handbook. But you still get to decide how you're going to show up in it. You yourself, that massive responsibility kind of that Martha was talking about. God didn't place you in responsibility just to watch you get overwhelmed by it. You are capable of more clarity, more strength, more leadership than you've been operating in. So please be intentional with what you do. And remember that your mess is your message. Even the pressure, even the confusion, even the moments where you felt like you had no idea what you were doing, that's where your growth happens. If this episode spoke to you, please share it out. There may be someone in business right now that is flailing and they need a lifeline. So let Martha be their guide, and she can't find them without your help. So just share the show out. Make sure you leave a review for the episode. And you guys listening, if you're ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Martha, thank you so much for coming in and speaking to my audience today. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. It was a wonderful conversation.